Good night, Shabbos, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shir number 172. Today we're going to talk about Rav Tversky's book, Life's Too Short, which is to pull the plug on self-defeating behaviors and turn on the power of self-esteem. We're going to alternate sometimes talking about this book, which is really one of his main books on self-esteem, as well as Rav Zelig Pliskin's book, Taking Action on Zrizis, that we talked about last week, and other things. So we'll mix it up a little bit so we have different angles of various very important topics. He talks a lot about himself, Rabbi Tversky, and he was very honest with himself in his revelation and explained to us how he himself, even at the age of 38 years old, had very low self-esteem and a lot of difficulties with it. He talks about when he was very, very overwhelmed from work, and he really just needed to get away. And someone suggested to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and he went into a whirlpool bath over there for 5-6 minutes. It was paradise. It was great, just what he needed. But then that was enough. He got out and said, no, to have the treatment, you have to sit there for 25 minutes in that mineral water. He went back in. After 5 minutes, he said, that was enough. He said, no, you got to stay there full 25 minutes. For him, it was Gehenna. And he recognized later that day, it was a rude awakening for him, that he was able to take 3 years of harassing schedule that he had, that he describes, in stride, but he couldn't take that calm paradise for more than 7 minutes. And an analysis led him to conclude that a realization that he didn't like himself. See, what happened was, is that over there, finally, he was in a matzav where he had no one to talk to, no one to look at, nothing to read, nothing to listen to. He was left alone in company with himself, and all there was himself, and I was alone with me, he said. And he realized he didn't like himself. And he questioned why he didn't like himself. And he said very self-reflective, honest things about himself. I'm just going to quote it, but he himself wrote it to publicize it. And it's something that we all need to do. I'm just going to read it. We know he was a very special, unbelievable person. But here is what he wrote. Eventually, I discovered that my image of myself was incorrect. My self-image was quite unlikable. I felt I was a phony. My rabbinic beard and garb portrayed a spiritual person, but I felt that I did not measure up to spirituality. I was greedy, envious, selfish, and resentful. I acted as though I was humble, when in fact I was proud and vain. My humility was but a facade of my arrogance. I pretended to be wise, but my ignorance was overwhelming. I could successfully relate to people only as long as I managed to maintain this facade, but I was always apprehensive that some astute person would see through it and see the real me. And I was a people pleaser, constantly doing things for others because I desperately wanted others to like me. I felt I had to buy friendships and affections. I never refused a request, regardless of how unreasonable it was, because I could not risk offending or alienating anyone. I pretended I was glad to do the favor, but inside I resented people for imposing on me. On many occasions, I was grossly overpaid for my services. Underpaid, rather. I was grossly underpaid for my services, but I acted overjoyed and enthusiastically thanked people for what they have given me. On the other hand, on several occasions, when people gave me large amounts of money in appreciation of something I had done, I refused to accept the bonus in order to impress them. When others received honors that I felt I deserved, I was magnanimous, pretending to be happy for the recipient of the award, whereas inside I seethed in rage. Those were some of the mechanisms, only some of the mechanisms, I used to persuade others that I was not the person I felt myself to be. Now he says, you know, I'm a much different person now. And when someone asks me to do something, I'm free to refuse if I feel it was an unrealistic imposition. And when I do things for others, it's with a sincere goodwill. I charge what I feel is a fair fee for my services and do not fear that people will accuse me of avarice. And I have proof that my success efforts at self-awareness have been successful because I returned to Hot Springs several times since and I can enjoy 25 minutes of relaxation in the whirlpool. So this is a very, very revealing aspect about a negative self-image that he had even at the age of 38, which we have very often ourselves, and sometimes even older. And this self-image, you know, he has very interesting cartoons. He liked Peanuts, which is a cartoon by Charles Schulz. And so he has some imagery over here. So he has a cartoon where Charlie Brown, he's sitting there laying down with a rock under his head, and he's just saying, "No one likes me." And then a bird lands on his foot, and he's looking, "Wow, a bird landed on my foot. And then the bird got off the foot and flew away. And Charlie Brown, in his mind, said, "No one likes me." Meaning, not even that bird. Now, that bird had no connection at all to Charlie Brown, but it made him feel even more unlikable. He interpreted the bird leaving his foot, where it landed, as a rejection. See, that negative attitude drains people from energies and may result in self-defeating behavior. And he goes through this idea. And the idea being, though, is that we are all better than who we think we are. We are a chelek elika, we are tzelem elikim. We're very special because God created us, not in the egotistic way where we are arrogant about it, but we have to recognize the gift that is within us. He has a very poignant story in the beginning of his book. "You're better than you think" is the title of this chapter. He says, "A young woman was admitted for treatment because of her heroin addiction. Her veins became obstructed by injecting herself with narcotics, received multiple abscesses. So this otherwise attractive woman was a pathetic sight because of all these lesions in her arms. And she said she was a nurse and had access to drugs, and she used sedatives for insomnia and Percocets for menstrual cramps. And they were taken on their own, not prescribed by a physician. And she got addicted to both these medications. And when she feared that the hospital would note that the drugs were missing, she used street drugs, gravitated to heroin, and it caused her to be unable to work, used up all her savings, sold everything, including herself, for money to buy drugs. Now, Rabbi Twersky was treating her or talking to her, and he noted that she was wearing a locket, which he said was gold. And he asked her, "Why didn't you sell that for heroin?" And she said it was her mother's and she could never part with that. "I asked her to show it to me," he said. "After handing it to me, I picked up a sharp instrument and acted as if I was about to scratch the locket. 'What are you doing?' she asked with a tone of panic. 'Oh, just scratching this a little bit. Why would you want to do that?' 'Oh, it's just something I like to do. But it's mine. I know, I'll give it back to you. But I don't want it all scratched up. It's beautiful and it's valuable to me.'" So Twersky says, "You mean that something has value and beauty and you do not allow it to be marred and ruined?" And then he showed her hands, her bruises, her abscesses. "Do you see what this says? These self-inflicting wounds are a loud statement that says, 'I am not beautiful. I have no value.' And people who do not have a sense of self-worth are prone to do destructive things to themselves and allow themselves to be injured. And overcoming self-defeating behaviors requires self-esteem." Now, he discusses drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and other ways that one may injure themselves: dropping out of school, unplanned pregnancies, allowing weight to get out of control, entertaining unhealthy relationships. All these things are destructive of behaviors. And if we do things that are injurious to ourselves. It is most often not due to ignorance, but basically saying, I don't care. It doesn't really make a difference. And even if we say we do care, deep down we don't. You see, protecting something valuable is a natural reaction. You know, when you own a beautiful car, you want to wash it and wax it, but we neglect ourselves. We lost that natural reaction, but we really didn't, because you see, even in this young woman's case, she had a concern for the gold locket, which means she did not consider herself to be much value or have any beauty. But that concept was there. What's sad about this is, what Tversky says, that this negative feeling and poor self-image was there prior to the use of alcohol and drugs. The addictions intensify the low self-esteem, creates a greater degree of shame. But what turned them there before this happened was that feeling of not feeling worthy, of not feeling valuable. He talks a lot about alcohol and drug addiction because that's what he dealt with mostly in his profession. He has a cartoon of someone looking at a mirror. You know, you look at these mirrors in the circus and in amusement parks where the mirror shows a distorted image. Let's say a tall, handsome person, you see them like very, very short and ugly or overweight, and look at it and say, thank good, it's a trick mirror. Now, some people are wise enough to recognize, oh, that's a fake distortion of a mirror. But very often we look at it and we say, that's real, that's the real me. But that's not the real you. That's not the real you. And we're going to talk about, in some of these shiurim that we're going to give, based on this book, because this concept here of low self-esteem creates a lot of unhealthy problems in our lives. Workaholism, anxiety, depression, other negative behaviors because of this feeling of lack of worth, lack of value that God placed in you. It is a very sad state of affairs. And we need to learn how to work on overcoming this. And we talked about it in the Feedback and Insight Shiurim, in another book, a little bit of one of his books called I've Got to Get Out of My Way, touched upon some of these concepts. But this is a book that's entirely, it seems, about low self-esteem and how to build it up, how to be careful and avoid those pitfalls, and will Bez Hashem be mamshich in upcoming shiurim in regards to this extremely important topic. Bracha v'atzlacha.